For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, it's Kyle Meredith, host of the Kyle Meredith With podcast, presented by WFPK at WFPK.org and the Consequence Podcast Network. It's a series that puts the spotlight on iconic musicians and actors, inviting them to drop by and talk about their latest projects, whether it's albums, TV shows, films, or beyond.
I'm going to say something I don't want to say. Here it goes. Without Spinal Tap, there is no Tenacious D.
Whoa. Man.
We get great stories and the biggest scoops from people like Garbage's Shirley Manson, the 1975's Matty Healy, Jack Black and Kyle Gass of Tenacious D, Maya Hawke, Kiefer Sutherland, and everyone in between. New episodes arrive every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. You can find Kyle Meredith With on the Consequence Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts.
Journey through the stories that define the artists playing Bonnaroo. Who are they? What are they? What will you see? The what? Which bands? This year, that matter.
Yay.
With Brad Steiner and Barry Corder.
A podcast for Bonnarooians by Bonnarooians. Welcome to the What Podcast. I'm Brad. It's Barry. Lord Taco, along for the ride. You're not in the bus this time, but Barry, you've got your own...
No, I thought we'd go back to Camp Nut Butter since it's, you know, it's Bonnaroo week.
Is it?
It's happening, man. It's happening. Haven't you heard?
It was something that we talked about for a long time. Why weren't they doing a certain thing? Why weren't they doing virtual stuff? Why weren't they pushing content out? Well, you know, they did it, and they did it really quickly. It seems like it came out of nowhere, and it's happening this weekend.
Starting Thursday, the 24th. Yeah, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They're going to have some classic old shows. Beastie Boys, Killer, I can't wait to see that. James Brown, I can't wait to see. Dave Matthews, probably
it kind of came out of nowhere. But in honor of that, we wanted to talk to our old friend Jeff Cuellar from AC Entertainment and the Bonnaroo Festival. But you know, there's a lot more stuff to talk to him about. And hopefully he answers a few things because we've got a lot of questions. What in the world is happening in the world? And I think Jeff Cuellar is as good as it gets to try and answer some of it, especially from what's going on inside that building.
Absolutely. And you and I have both hinted and talked and whatever about for the last 6 months that we talked to people sort of on the, you know, QT, the side, nobody official. So this is really the first guest I think that we've had on the show that can directly speak to what has happened over the last 6 months. And I have to say, I don't know that there were any surprises. I think he just confirmed everything that you and I have been saying and thinking and talked about, which is that it's a very complicated time. And there are a lot of moving parts we've said it before. I've said it before. That first time he was on with us was a huge eye-opening experience.
Yeah, it really changed the whole direction of right. what we did with this podcast. I mean, we thought we were just going to sit around and talk about bands that we like.
Exactly.
And then it turned out like, oh, I know why we want to talk about the electricity.
Yeah.
We want to know how they keep the lights on.
They planted grass.
Yeah, they planted grass. Yeah.
The nuts and bolts, and I think he's terrific at sharing that with us, and he gives us a lot of good information.
Yeah, and then when we repeat the information back to his coworkers, they're all like, "He said what?
He said what?
Why did he say that?
I told you what?"
All right, here we go. Let's do it. Jeff Cuellar from AC Entertainment. Let's bring him on to the What Podcast. Welcome back, Jeff. How are you?
Hanging in there.
Yeah, are you? You got a little bit of information for us here in the last couple of days, huh?
Yeah, we've got a virtual festival that we're gonna have.
I wonder why we would need to do that.
We just thought it'd be you just shake things up a little bit.
Yeah,
do something different. You know, going back to the farm every year. Let's try something new. Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's funny. I interviewed Kevin Kenny for the paper a couple of weeks ago, and I, you know, in my usual smart ass way, I was like, "So, my first question. So, how's your summer been?"
Yeah.
Thinking. And he went for like 10 minutes, you know, very serious, talked about recording new stuff and all this. And so I was going to ask Jeff, so how's your summer been? You been busy?
Been very busy, actually. It's actually, it's funny to think that, you know, the first part of the summer or first part of the year was more or less dedicated to shifting and figuring out, you know, what can happen, what's possible. How can we make that stuff happen? Okay, we can't make that happen. So then what's up next? And we kind of always have had the idea of doing something along these lines, period. And so let's just say we, you know, forced to fast forward that and really pay attention to, you know, kind of what's going out there. But I think we had a little bit of luxury of knowing that the festival was, you know, since we were able to move dates to September, it gave us a time to step back and really evaluate, one, are we going to be able to pull it off this year? And then two, if we can't, what do we want to do? And how do we want to do it the Bonnaroo way?
I want to talk about reality that's coming up here a little bit in a bit, but I want to go backwards for a second, especially when it comes to, you know, you're looking at the country and the environment in the 1st of March. And, you know, Bonnaroo was essentially one of the last ones to call it, you know, one of the last ones to pull the plug, really definitely one of the last ones to reschedule. Go through the process and where your mind was, at least. Did you, in March, say to yourself, when you saw Coachella go, did you say to yourself, this isn't happening? Or were you still trying to hold out hope and rearrange your mind to, you know, well, this could work and then that could work?
It all depends on which moment I blinked to determine to kind of give you that answer. I mean, there definitely was an ominous feeling that, you know, it's not going to happen. But there was also the wait and see, you know, what are we really dealing with here and how will the country and how will, you know, our lawmakers and how will the, you know, science react, and what are we really dealing with? So I think for a lot of it, you were kind of paying attention to what was going on overseas, but really, is that going to, you know, to impact us? And, you know, I'd say a good number of us, we're focused on the physical festival at that point in time. I mean, when you're in March, right. I mean, even in February, we're in the thick of it. We're dealing with a sold out event. So we had a lot of, I don't want to say changes, but there were a lot of operational pieces that we had been working on that were kind of, you know, kind of almost put your blinders on a little bit, from, you know, adding roads to, you know, fabrication of structures to just a lot of the pieces and kind of clean up to get into it. Because once, you know, the positive side of once you know you've got a sold out event and you're walking into that year, some of that decision-making changes in terms of how you budget, how you look at things. So there was a lot of that. And then once we realized, and I think some of the other decision-making, I mean, granted, you know, I think Coachella was forced, obviously, to make a decision early because the festival was earlier in the year. So with new science and information coming on a daily basis, we didn't want to jump to conclusions too early. Plus, for other events that made different decisions, some of them hadn't released lineups yet. You know, some of them hadn't even gone on sale yet, or if they had, they were very early in the cycle. We were dealing with a sold out event. So it was what is the best way to make sure we have a safe event? And then how do we ensure that we're able to maintain the fan experience and everything, you know, all of those domino pieces moving forward before, you know, we're ultimately, you know, forced to make a decision on, the actual moving of the event. And we felt like when we made that decision, it was the right time for us and the right time to kind of make that decision for our fans in terms of preserving what we all know and love about Bonnaroo.
But up until the moment it was announced, was there a question? Was there a possibility that you could have made this set? Were you guys going back and forth up until the moment it was announced, or did you really feel it sometime in June or July?
Well, and let me add to that, because this is really the first time, Jeff, that, I mean, Brad and I and Russ obviously have been talking about this since March, but this is the first time that we've really had you, you know, somebody who was in the room, so to speak. What was that like? Because, you know, I've been writing about it as a reporter, and it was what you knew, what you thought you knew at 8 in the morning, it completely changed at 10, and then again at noon, like every day, right? I mean, that's the way it looked from where I was. So talk about that, and really, has it changed? I mean, does it still feel like that?
It does in a way, but I would say you're right. You know, what you wake up to in the morning was definitely different by lunch, and then probably changed four more times before dinner. And then overnight, you know, the conversations, it was ever evolving. And I think the bigger challenge is everyone wanted answers. And we took the standpoint of, like, we're not the experts from you know, the medical community, from the scientific community. We needed to wait and hear from them. Additionally, you need to wait and hear from lawmakers, because there, you know, a certain amount of permitting process that goes along with producing a large scale event, especially one on the scale of Bonnaroo. And so what are you or aren't you allowed, you know, going to be allowed to do? And, you know, they were struggling to make decisions because everything's changing so fast. And, you know, no one wants to sometimes make that difficult call. But I think once we realized that there was not going to be a shot to play in June, like, this thing is there's just, you know, it's not going to happen. Prior to that, we had already started looking at what is our backup plan and can we move it, and then going through all of the traps or the process to determine, okay, if now we're going to focus on this date, let's make sure all of the major pieces can be aligned in order to move it. And then two, I would say even like the secondary and tertiary pieces behind that, because as you know, it's not just like opening an amphitheater. I mean, there are, you know, from conversations with the Department of Transportation to other permitting organizations, traffic control, all of that changes when you change the time frame. And what we were looking at specifically, obviously, changing the date to September, school's in session. And what does that mean? And how is that going to impact our audience, knowing that you've got, you know, a large number of our population or our patrons, Bonnaroovians that are in college and or may have small children and have to send them back to school. So what is that going to look like? So there definitely was, it was not an easy decision to be made because of all of the factors that had to be considered to be able to make it happen. And when we finally ran through all of the traps and said, okay, operationally, logistically, from a you know, a booking standpoint, we can make this move. You know, then it was, you know, parallel pathing that piece with, are we able to present Bonnaroo? So let's take the functional decision making off the table. Can we present Bonnaroo in a way that is still Bonnaroo? So if it's not in the summer, will we have the leeway with our fans, our staff, with our artists to be able to still deliver the Bonnaroo experience? And, you know, I would say that was the last piece that we kind of almost had to overcome, was feeling like, yes, we can still deliver. So functionally, we can make all the pieces happen, but will it still be Bonnaroo? And kind of from that standpoint, you know, the thought process was, yes, we can. And based on everything of kind of where we were to the point of making the final decision, and then making it public, being able to say, I think we have the support from our fans to do it because they want to see something happen.
When you say you wanted to make sure that the last piece being the bottom experience, were you willing to, and I'm guessing that the answer is going to be 100%, you could have made it what we know of and what we love in June. You could have made it in September. But was there a number you were willing to go with? Like, if you could get it to 80%, if it wasn't fully Bonnaroo, could you skirt around the edges and lose a few things and miss a couple of things? If something fell through, could you make it work at 75%? Can the car run? Can Bonnaroo run with a half tank of gas?
I don't know. We didn't have to make that call. Yeah. And I think that's, you know, I think it all depends on, you know, using your car analogy, do you need the windshield? Well, if you're going 25 miles down the, you know, 25 miles an hour and you're only going 2 miles, yeah, probably don't need a windshield. But if you're cruising down the highway, you probably want that windshield. So that's where, you know, what I love about, I've always loved about the Bonnaroo team, and even has even how it has evolved, everybody is bringing their perspective to the table, and everybody's opinion is valued in a sense of what the overall Bonnaroo experience is. I always say we are just the, you know, we get to make it happen, but, you know, it's the fans' event, and we just get the pleasure and the joy of being able to produce it every year. So it is, it's thinking about what that is, because we know, you know, this would have been the 19th year. So that is, you know, that's a, it's a very, none of that is weighed lightly on any one of us. We understand the power that we have with that decision-making, and never want to take anything for granted, because we want to make sure that our fans, you know, are stay true to Rue, and we deliver the product that is true to that.
I think that's a great question, Brad. And it sort of gets to the t-shirt. It gets to the whole Ken Weinstein, never not great. You know, that came out of the whole 2016 conversation of the numbers were down. It was still a great Bonnaroo, which the idea that something would have changed were it to happen live in September would have had to, because of what you said, school. I didn't think about, really, you know, we got college football in Tennessee. You would have had state troopers pulled this way and that way. There would be a lot of considerations. I have to say it, this lineup was so good. How does that hurt? I mean, how bad does that hurt for you guys? It was a sellout, but the lineup was just amazing from the time it was announced.
It does. It stings from the standpoint of even if, like, you know, what would have happened in September, or, you know, we talk about, you know, the next iteration of it, even if it's 99% of the lineup, it's still only 99%. So it's like, it is the lineup that won't, I don't think could ever 100% make it there. And that, yeah, that's a shame, because there was a lot of it. And it's funny, we joke before, and I know we talked, you know, about the planting of grass, and, you know, it's not a sexy thing. No one's going to write home about it or jump on social and be like, oh my God, you know, that fescue was amazing. It's never going to happen. But, like,
only me. I'm the one who talks about it.
But all of the other pieces that we had in place to go along with that lineup. So, I mean, you talk about, like, the stars aligning. It's like the perfect lineup. Operationally, we're doing a lot of things. Visually, we're going to be doing so many things. And all of that paired together. Yeah, it's a real blow not to be able to keep those pieces together.
Just to kick extra sand in the face, that weekend's weather was amazing.
Yeah. Oh, my God, I remember that. Yes.
Yeah. It sucks. You know,
I think it was even better than the previous year, which was by far and above the best wedding year ever.
Well, to the weather point, is there a person in the room or an active conversation that, you know, September might be a better date anyway?
It's not Bonnaroo. I mean, can you say that conversation hasn't happened? I would be lying to say that it hasn't happened in that sense. But there is something, there's still something about, even as our world changes across the board on every facet, about summer escape. And yeah. I think that there is something to that, because Bonnaroovians, you know, revere Bonnaroo as, it is my escape. And yeah, when other, you know, it's hard to be able to, I think, collectively have that escape in another time of year. You can maybe have bits and pieces of it over a holiday weekends or something else, maybe like a fall break, but to have that, the ability and the almost the expectation to be able to shut down for a certain period of time and be in this fantasy land, I don't think you can take that away from the summer. You know, it is one of those things. Do I think you can still have an amazing event that probably will be successful? I think you could. But is it going to be everything that you want it to be? No, I never say never, but is Bonnaroo.
I think that your points are totally right on target. But with the reason I sort of ask is because we're looking at reality in 2021, and you know, Coachella has already said that they're going to go to the fall for next year because they're not, you know, the country's not going to be ready by March probably. If it's not already an active conversation that you guys are leaning into September of 2021 already, I would be stunned. I'd be stunned. So sure, you can probably say that June is the right time for it, but is it the right time for it in 2021?
To be determined.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, it's an unanswerable question, in all honesty. But have you guys gone through the list of what you would need to do to even make June happen? Aside, like you said, the tiers of what you needed to happen in September. What is number one? What's the number one most important thing to happen between now and June for June to happen? A vaccine? Is it a vaccine? Is it the lineup?
It's fan safety. Over?
Is it?
Yeah. It's 100% fan safety, and it's how do we ensure a safe festival? The mantra is if you can't produce a safe festival, you can't produce a festival. Doesn't matter how great the lineup is, doesn't matter how awesome the pyro is, doesn't matter all of those other pieces, it has to be a safe festival first. And that is where I think our heads are at. And it's just having the kind of the understanding, you know, what is that step? And in terms of safety, you could do a whole separate week-long podcast just dedicated to what that may be. And that changes. I mean, that's the other difficult thing is,
that's right.
As we learn more about, you know, what the science is and what the medical community is saying about it, there is definitely it adjusts our thinking in terms of what is the best approach to produce a safe event. And so I think that is what, that's our focus right now is really producing a safe event.
Let me jump on that because we want to get to the Thursday event, the virtual event. Obviously, that's
there's a lot to unpack there.
I want to get into that, but this is a good logical sort of progression. Sort of ties into the question I'd asked earlier about that 8 o'clock in the morning to noon sort of thing. What I mean. To me, the analogy would be like trying to turn a giant ship around in a river. You know, there's so many elements that are required for you guys to put this festival on. And you've had all of this happen. You've had, you know, the industry is shut down. You've had layoffs. You've had everything else like everybody else. So it's not, and this is something Brad and we've talked about on here. It's not just a simple matter of somebody blowing a whistle and saying, hey, we're back, you know, we're back live.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that. What's it going to take to get this ginormous thing back? I mean, safety obviously is key, and I think that's obviously the right answer. But I just want to maybe give people a sense of what all is sort of involved from your guys' point of view to get this thing going, whether it's June or September.
There is no one. I mean, as you mentioned, it's not one thing. I mean, it's, you know, I think having a better understanding of how this can be controlled. I think the other piece of it is how receptive people are to it. Things maybe potentially not being the same. I mean, you see how people react to wearing masks.
Yeah.
And so if we have to institute a mask policy to where everyone is wearing masks as they're traversing around the grounds, will it be adhered to? Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, there definitely is. Exactly. And so it isn't one thing. I mean, there has to be a vaccine. You know, there has to be a four-step treatment plan to where, you know, you're going to be good and spreading it in a certain way. There's multiple factors that are going into it. And, you know, some of it has to do with, you know, the lawmakers in terms of each state. And I think Tennessee has been, you know, with the Tennessee Pledge, I think there definitely has been some very positive examples of how they've moved forward and have instituted things that have been successful. I know about the race in Bristol, I think went off, if I'm not mistaken, it went off pretty flawlessly, and there hasn't been anything coming back on that yet. There's been, you know, you've seen other examples of like a Chase Rice incident, what happened with the Chainsmokers. So it isn't just simply, I don't want to say our call, because ultimately it is our call on whether or not we decide to move forward with things, but it's taking all of the various information points and just being able to make the most qualified decision. And is one of those points large enough to basically derail it and cause us to say, okay, we're not ready yet? And, you know, is it all five factors? Can we deal with having four out of the five, or which four out of the five make it work? And that's, you know, I would say that's, it changes, Barry. And I wish I could say, you know, it's like a vaccine we're in, because we still could have a vaccine and still not be ready, because the vaccine has not been able to hit, you know, a penetration point of 70% of the U.S. population. And that's going to be it. You know, where, you know, do we feel like people entering the grounds maybe after? Because I think we've, you know, we've heard about the ready tests that you get results back in 15 minutes. You know, is that part of it? I don't know.
And by the way, the expense of that for, you know, 100,000 people is, come on. You know, if you thought, you know, money was tight before, Jesus. You know, so let's put it in this weird last 6 months. Have you done any of the virtual shows? Have you done any of the drive-in shows? You personally, have you been a part of any of them? Did you go to any of them? Have you liked any of them?
I personally have not been. I've done a lot of virtual ones. So a lot of our festival friends and competitors I've watched. I'd say, you know, a lot of it's honestly I've watched just mainly from a research standpoint. To
see, yeah, sure.
What has worked, what hasn't, what I like, what I dislike. I mean, that's one thing I would have to say we're very fortunate before going into, you know, talking about the virtual reality stuff, is a lot of people pulled theirs off before we did. So
yeah.
We got to learn from what others did.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bonner's always been, you know, I think kind of setting the curve a lot of ways. And I think we're benefiting from, like, let's let other people, you know, pull this thing off, and then we'll go forward with it. And, you know, it's different. You know, I would say how it's changed and where I see it evolving. I don't think virtual is going to be gone. I think virtual in some form or fashion is going to really enhance the festival experience, specifically for those that can't be on the grounds in later years. So, I mean, let's just go back to where, you know, festivals are at full capacity and running like normal. I think there are going to be opportunities that the virtual space can really do some fun and interesting things, because let's be honest, we all have things that come up, you know, whether it's family obligations, a vacation, whatever it may be, it causes you to miss a festival from, you know, from year to year. And I think this may be the opportunity for folks to try something different and still engage with the brand. So I think there's a lot of opportunity for that piece to kind of expand
and happen. And when I think about it, it's like, this is the first real go through with one of these. By the next time we go through some of these, look at the DNC and the RNC, right? They had to completely remake their entire presentation, and it actually sort of made it better, you know? And they had to rethink every, like, even the roll call had to be completely rethought. And it was brilliant, and they're never going back to the way that they did it before. You know, the first time that you do this, the first time that anybody does this, is going to be, you know, a little strange, but then it could turn into a really impressive event, especially, you know, the way that it can grow. You know, putting, you know, I can envision a world where you're creating a virtual online festival, and you're putting the patrons, the listener, the viewer into it with you, having them in and out of shows, introing shows, coming at, you know, the way that you can program it. You know, you can program any way you want to. You know, it doesn't have to just be a list of artists and a list of bands, you know,
yeah.
But we're learning that. We're learning how this is happening really on the fly, and watching it grow has been sort of neat. I mean, it's one of the side benefits, I guess, of this whole thing.
Yeah. Everybody's figuring out why they do something. They're asking themselves why they do it, what works, what doesn't work. And then they're making it better, which is, you know, typically, hopefully what we do.
Well, to me, the best move that you made for the virtual reality was the Beasties. I think that the thing that got me this summer the most out of anything was the Beastie Boys documentary. It's the one thing that I think that I mean, you can scream Tiger King all you want to, but for me, it was the Beastie documentary. And then, you know, the day that Barry watched it, he called me afterwards. He's like, I didn't realize the last show they ever played was Bonnaroo.
Yeah.
And being able to watch that whole thing through, I mean, we were 20 feet from the stage at that show. It was really one of the most magical moments of our life, especially if you grew up with the Beastie Boys. Putting that on there, that was a good move. That was
I'm really smart. Looking forward to watching that again this
it
weekend.
It is. I'm so excited for people to see. I mean, like you just talking about like goosebumps when my arms again. It was an amazing set, and then to have the impact of what it will mean to Beastie Boys fans across the world. I'm really excited about it. It's, you know, there's other ones. I mean, like the Dave Matthews set that we've got on there too. You know, their campus set, it's one of their favorite sets of all time.
Really?
And I think it's because that the level of the special guest and everybody who came to be a part of that show.
This is the Anne Friend show, right?
Yeah.
Is this the Anne Friend show?
Yeah. Yeah. It's something special. Right. I mean, if you really look at all of the archival sets, there's something special in there. And that's one of the questions that I've received a lot is like, you know, there's a lot of things going back in some of the earlier years. Why not some of the stuff that, you know, over the past 2 or 3 years? And I'm like, not to say that, you know, we didn't have some amazing sets in the past 2 years, because we have. I mean, some mind-blowing sets have happened. Yeah. But if you look at some of the technology and what people are kind of capturing, you know, even on YouTube, and what phone technology has and things along those lines, that didn't happen back in 06. That didn't happen back in 05 and 09. And I think that is another piece of why we decided to dive a little bit back further into the archives, is some of these things people have never seen before unless you were there. Or we put it included in, like, a, you know, some of our earlier documentaries that we used to put out.
James Brown comes to mind. I mean, guys here on the radio were just talking. Yeah, I missed that. I was one of those. I stayed at camp, but they were thinking, James Brown, you know, seen him, he's old, why would I go to that? And then everyone came back and like, oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, yeah. What we've noticed, Jeff, I think to our total surprise, is that most of the people that we have listening to this podcast are not the lifers like we are. They are they're more of the Russ, the Lord Tacos of the world, where this is our third Bonnaroo, or, you know, yeah, of course they want McCartney to come back because they didn't see him the first time. And that feels like yesterday to me. To me, I think the magic is going back to the roots and where some of these, like, first shows started. Like, man, EOB was, I know Lord Taco was really excited about the EOB show. And so was I. But his post the other day, I mean, that one about kicked me in the gut. His Instagram post was he got a 2006 Bonnaroo poster in the mail. And he said, one of my absolute favorite gigs of all time was that first Radiohead show at Bonnaroo. That's where some of that magic is. And even if you found it in the last 2 years, boy, it was birthed, you know, so long ago. So, yeah stay with that old stuff. I think that you can't miss with the hits.
You hit the hits. And then where I think we were able to, again, you know, being able to look at it from the standpoint of we got to watch what others did. That's where we went after the I'd say the more fresh stuff or the more new stuff with original content that has come in the appearances by. So I think that's when we're able to leverage, you know, our relationships to do, you know, like Chromeo's new project and to have, you know, some of the other things, you know, where Tank of the Bangas and St. Paul and the Broken Bones and some of your...
Tank of the Bangas literally across the street from making wave to him if you want me to. Yeah.
So I think having some of that piece into the mix, that's where you're going to get, you know, it's the good, I mean, the new stuff, as well as some of the archival footage that all plays together, and then some of the original programming. I'm really excited for a lot of people to hear some of our campfire tales.
Oh, good.
They're coming out there, and then, you know, even the more the philanthropic stuff. You know, we're doing with the Cheers to Live and Bacardi, where, you know, we're hitting, you know, some of the National Historic Theaters in the state of Tennessee, and giving them an opportunity to, you know, do something fun. Let's take a drink break, mix a drink, and then be able to, you know, share that and as a fundraising opportunity for those for those nonprofits, and the Ducky Dance Party. I mean, I think we are staying true to Rue from the standpoint of we're even doing different things. Like, hey, listen, bands on a stage is fun. This new content's fun, but let's get up and dance with our pets. Like,
yeah,
it's just gonna be fun.
That's good. That's really good. I'm sure. You know, I'm sure our call is coming any minute. You know, I'm sure we'll take the call. We'll be there whenever you need. I'm sure it's going to be coming any minute now. Any minute. But yeah, like a small little box. I think about the idea of me just sitting at the house in a bathrobe and having my own robe party while I do it, right?
I thought that was just Thursday at the Steiner house.
You know,
I have mine actually just arrived today.
Oh yeah.
So I like all the other Bonnaruvians, I made the pre-order back in July, August, and my care package just arrived today that I ordered to support the cause myself.
Does the robe match the banana suit? Or we go? They're two different.
That sounds like a sexual euphemism.
It does. It does. It really does. Now that I hear it in my own head. So yeah, those specialty things for people who have never been to Bonnaroo, they probably don't understand how it is so much more than just the shows. The shows are amazing, but it's the special events, it's the experiences, it's the camping. It's the whole thing. And you guys have always taken that. I always have felt as seriously as everything else. Those extra things don't feel like they're just sort of put there to fill out, you know, somebody's day. I'll put it that way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, they're very important. And
if you do not leave the stream and go make Big Frida's booty popping potatoes, like, we have failed. I got to see the rough cut of it, and I was like, and that's what we're eating for dinner tonight. And promptly made some booty popping potatoes. And
you're talking about all of my neighbors right now. It's like, Frida's around the corner too. She's just coming to New Orleans. You can do all this together.
She was very kind enough to deliver her recipe for that, and I can't thank her enough.
How long did it take to put the whole thing together?
Oh, God.
Is it still being done?
It's right. Not finished. Yeah,
we're
yeah,
I had a feeling.
Yeah, we've got some pieces that are still being finalized. We've got a campfire tale, one last one that is getting edited as we speak, that we should be able to see. That I can't wait. I've heard bits and pieces, but not the full story together from a special guest that will be great.
Okay. Now, what fire are you talking about? Because there's no fires at Bonnaroo, remember?
It's a virtual campfire.
You can't set
a campfire. Virtual campfire, okay. Yeah.
All right, just
we're virtual. Check. Yeah.
Okay. speaking of things you can and can't do at Bonnaroo, I'm just, you know, I'm not going to insinuate or jump to conclusions, but there's an arch behind you, Jeff.
Wondering when that was coming.
Porch. Just...
been waiting for that question.
So somebody can make their own assumptions.
I will let you jump to jump to conclusions, Matt, and make any conclusions you want.
Right, whatever Easter eggs you want to drop, that's fine by me. What is the just as the future going into the future, knowing that it's going to be very difficult to figure out, you know, what happens. We haven't figured out what happened the last 6 months. The hell, what we know about the next 6 months. So after the reality thing comes and goes, and you know, you debrief on all of that, what's in the next process for you guys? What happens next?
We got Bonnaroo 2021. So, you know, I mean, that's, we are focused on, you know, having the most amazing virtual festival that we can produce out there, and still focus then turn our attention to 2021 and celebrate our 20th anniversary. So I think that's going to be our next big thing. We're going to take all the information and everything that we've got and make the best decisions we can for the festival moving forward. But, you know, right now that's how we have to look at it, is, you know, we're full steam ahead.
On that roller coaster, if you will, we were talking about earlier, how does that feel? Do you feel confident you have a picture of what 2021 looks like, or does it feel like that 8 a.m. noon to 4 type of thing still.
You know, there's one thing I learned, I don't want to say early on, because it definitely wasn't early on in this whole process, is the speculation. I just have to kind of remove it and really focus on what we can control and where we can push things. And for us, there is, every year we look at how we can make Bonnaroo and any festival we produce better. And the one thing I will take away from this time is the amount of focus and attention we've been able to put towards it and really thinking about all of those minute details, as we joke about grass and other things, are where can we reprioritize stuff? What now, when you have, you know, more than like your dedicated almost meeting time to have a discussion about this and then pull certain pieces back together. I think we've been able to really reflect on some of those big, you know, bigger pieces and smaller ones and how that whole puzzle puts together. And so I remove, you know, some of the speculation and what to think about and push it more towards here's what I can control. And yeah. Here's what our team can control. And here's how we're going to move forward on what we can control. And once, you know, decisions can get made based off of new science, new leadership, new whatever it may be, then we will move forward with that. Well, you know, we'll have our plans and then our contingency plans in place, but that's every festival. So it doesn't, I mean, take pandemic, take whatever you want off the table. There's always going to be something. There's always going to be something that we have to pay attention to, that we have to make sure that we're aware of and think about how it impacts us. But
last year, you had to deal with the Las Vegas shooting and how that changed, you know, your security plans.
Yes. Weather.
I get that. And so, but a wise man once told me that don't show me your values, show me your budget. How does the things that you want to accomplish, if this was a normal year, do with the budget restrictions? Are there budget restrictions? What has 2020 done to the overall bank account? Because I know it's done to my business's bank account. I know it's done to so many small businesses' bank account. I think that, you know, it's no secret. You guys are under the umbrella of Live Nation, but we all know what Live Nation's having to go through and what the entire industry's having to go through. So how does the budget work in all?
I mean, the budget's always going to be a factor of it. I mean, there's a certain amount. I mean, we may have to make some tough decisions at times to be able to make it work. But, you know, in my opinion, it's no different really than any other year. I mean, every year, you know, there is a budget. And here's the budget that you have to stick to. And if there is a deviation for whichever reason for the budget, you know, there's got to be a damn good reason. But, you know, prior to Live Nation and then with Live Nation, that's always the case. I mean, if you're trying to build a successful business, is, you know, being mindful of that. I think, you know, I know Live Nation knows the sensitivity as well as the what they have in an asset like Bonnaroo, and they have never stepped in from a standpoint of like forcing it one way or another, because it's so special and it's taken, you know, all of these 19 years to get to this special place. And now it is our opportunity, it's our, you know, pleasure to be able to keep pushing this thing forward and continue to make it and improve upon it. So that part doesn't concern me. I think, you know, again, there are realities in terms of financials that we'll have to think about. But coming out on the other side of this, we look at more of the opportunity. And if we didn't have the backing and we weren't under the Live Nation umbrella, I would probably be way more concerned about that question than I am now, because, you know, it's a global organization. And that is, you know, we've got amazing leadership at the helm there. And it's going to, you know, it's going to allow us to make the best decisions to keep this amazing event going.
How much does, and along those same lines, and it's maybe an obvious question, but how much does the fact that you guys own the farm play into long-term future and goals? Does that help tremendously because you're kind of in control? Does it, you know, is it a level of commitment? You know, it's not a rental, you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Oh yeah. Yeah, no, it does make sense. And it's extremely helpful. You know, it makes it, we drive the schedule. versus, you know, if you're going into, let's just say, an arena or another facility, you've got to worry about everything else they're booking, and, you know, and what else could be in the schedule for that particular space. We are the schedule. We make the schedule. And so that has been a blessing for us from everything from capital improvements to our decision-making process. It's one less decision we have to worry about in terms of moving things around, shuffling them, or, you know, when we start the build, how we do the build. And it is, with that site and owning it, we can protect Bonnaroo in a way that perhaps if we didn't own the site, we wouldn't have that ability. So, yeah, you know, I mean,
and Brad, let me say, before you got on, we were just chatting, Taco and Jeff and I, and I think the quote was, you would rather do 6 or 7 live Bonnaroos than 1 virtual Bonnaroo.
Yes.
It's that much work, huh?
It is. I mean, yes. And I would say, probably if I was a seasoned veteran at producing virtual music festivals like I am about producing physical festivals, I may not feel that same exact way. But you kind of don't know what you don't know. And we've been very lucky to have a team and some very skilled people within our team that you know, do know that space extremely well. But all of it's changing, too. I mean, the number of new platforms that came up from March to now is almost mind-numbing. So you're just trying to make a decision on what platform you're going to go with and why you're going with a different platform. Do you charge? Do you not charge? I mean, all of those various things, I think, probably put a lot of it at play. Plus, you know, I mean, let's be honest with, you know, this type of virtual festival and trying to do new things, there are still limitations because people aren't traveling. It's not like you can with your typical event. I mean, unfortunately, I didn't get to watch the Emmys last night, but the fact that, you know, people were making their acceptance speeches at home and things along those lines, we couldn't even do like an NBA bubble. You know, like that's not even possible with this type of thing. So you tack on the fact that we don't produce virtual festivals, and then you throw in all of the hurdles to kind of get there. It just made it very, well, very challenging. Well,
then to that point, who's the director? Who's the producer? Who's actually making the whole operation work?
You still got the same team. And it's just, I would say our production team, you know, led by Daniel Gibbs, is, you know, he's the heavyweight kind of in that mixture that kind of understands how the pieces work. But you still got talent buyers, because the talent buyers have to interact with the artists to get the permissions to be able to play archival set or do new stuff. You still have, you know, our partnerships team talking to the various brands that are helping to, you know, make sure everything functions and works together and come up with the integration ideas to say, you know, how does that authentic and, you know, staying true to who we are as Bonnaroo. What other cool things and different things can we be doing that is just, you know, that stays unique to the festival branding, as we mentioned. I mean, Big Three doing Booty Popping Potatoes doesn't work at a lot of other events, and it does work for us. So it's being able to have that type of stuff. You still had a lot of your same team. It's just causing us to think in a way that is
right,
not physical, but virtual, and then what opportunities come into play. And I'll be honest, I wish we had, you know, probably 6 more months, because there were probably about a solid 10-15 other ideas that would have been amazing to execute had we had more time. And I think that's, you know, it kind of speaks to where we're going, the opportunity is endless. And so some of these ideas that we came up with, like, that's awesome, let's put a pin in that one, and then we're going to come back to it because potentially we use it for the 20th anniversary, potentially use it for ways to interact with fans as we are moving forward before leading into the physical event. And so I take the blessing of this entire exercise as, one, expanding skill set, and two, forcing us all to think in a way that I don't want to say is uncomfortable, but, you know, isn't second nature like producing large-scale event is.
So you didn't hire, what I'm learning is that you didn't go outside your basic operation to hire like a director or somebody who does videography for a living. You didn't go outside the bubble to make this work?
No. I mean, I'd say just about everything is internal. All the skill set was internal. It's just taking that skill set and saying, instead of this, reimagine it to this. And so that's what I think the beautiful thing was, is you have a number of, I mean, so many talented people on our team that, you know, to make this happen, they all had the skills. Everyone had the skills. It's just a matter of, we haven't had to use the skills in that fashion. Mm-hmm. And that's been kind of the fun, is to really kind of have the conversations with team members and be like, but wait a minute, we're, you know, walls are down. We can do whatever we want. Now we just have to stay within budget.
Did you do anything on the farm?
There are some pieces that may have happened on the farm.
Okay. All right. Very interesting.
I have back to Brad's point about the fact that, you know, we've done this for a long, long time and a lot of people don't. I think you told me last year during one of our interviews that, what, 60% of people are new each year? Is that, am I getting that number about right?
It's about right. When you look at it, it didn't return from last year.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
But of those 60%, I don't want to quote numbers here, there's a good chunk of that 60% that maybe didn't come last year. Have been to a Bonnaroo before.
So, because in our mind, it's the same people every year, you know, because it is. Yeah. And it's an unfair question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. For those of us who are familiar and used to it a certain way, can you look into a crystal ball or whatever? What do you think it looks like? Is it going to be somewhat similar? Not at all similar? I mean, is this pandemic going to completely change? It's hard for me to imagine 80,000 people like we have in the past on the farm, given everything. What are you guys thinking?
I think it will return, and I don't want to say to normal, because normal, you know, if you just look back in the context of history, normal is whatever today is. It changes every day from that standpoint. I think if this has taught us all something, is to don't skip out on those opportunities. Take those chances, because you may spend the next 6 months in your house and not able to do so. So take advantage of the ability to have the experiences you have. Don't take it for granted, because it can be fleeting and it can go away. So will it be the exact same? Probably not. But if you go back, you know, was Bonnaroo, how we ran Bonnaroo in 2019, was it the same as 2018? No.
Yeah.
It wasn't. And, you know, was 2018 the same as 2006? Hell no, it wasn't. You know, we've, you know, the core of it was there and it will always be there. But how those pieces kind of work together change. And I think you may see a more of a drastic change, not even drastic, but, you know, more of a perceivable change from, you know, 2019 to 2021, or, you know, even moving forward. It may not be as slight, but there will be change. But I have faith in people that we are just dying to come back together and to be together. And ultimately, if it means we're all wearing face masks and we're doing, you know, hopping on one foot, then we're all going to wear face masks and hop on one foot, because we are a tribe, and the tribe wants to dance and to sing and to eat and break bread and just be together. And I think we will overcome, and it'll be great. It'll be amazing.
Man, Jeff Cuellar, eternal optimist. He's got much more optimism than I do. That's
never not, that's never not great. Yeah. It's never not great. And that's the point of that whole 60% sort of thing is, those guys don't know what last year was like.
Yeah.
You know? It's just where they are today. So, you know, I think that gets lost sometimes. I know Brad and I we've had those kind of aha moments, like, well, they weren't there in 2013. They don't know, you know.
You mean when they moved the hill?
When they moved the hill.
When they moved the hill. Jeff, you know, I, you know this, we love you and we so appreciate your time. We value it immensely. And, you know, you drop a lot of knowledge on us every time you stop by. So, you know. Yeah, keep the positivity, man, because seeing the election thing play out and watching what's happening around, you know, what's around us at every turn, ain't easy. It ain't easy to keep that up. So
get out and vote. Mm-hmm. If you can work the polls, go work the polls, because if you don't vote, you don't have the right to complain. You got to go vote.
Well, thank you for everything and the time. And man, we can't thank you enough. And hopefully we'll see you soon.
Also, yeah, we miss you especially this weekend, right? We'll all be hanging out watching the Beastie Boys
this
together.
Weekend. Yeah, absolutely. I miss you and your banana suit. And that's not a euphemism, I damn it. It's not a euphemism.
Do you know is PBR coming back? this year, can you
the thing that matters the most to talk about?
He's waited an hour. An hour.
All I can say to that is that we will always have delicious, amazing beer on tap and in cans. And I'll stress the cans part. Always.
Thank you,
Jeff. Thank you so much. Hey, and California now. We California. Didn't even get into that. Yeah, Jeff lives in California.
We meant to turn left. I did. I live in the Bay Area, now just outside of San Jose. My wife is now a professor at San Jose State. We intended on going back to the Southeast, and we took a wrong turn.
Yeah.
And we're here. Yeah. Yep.
So we're all.
They gave us a nice warm fire welcome.
You got, out of that, got out of that cold Chicago.
This is great. You moved to a new city during a pandemic. I got to New Orleans 2 days after Mardi Gras and 10 days before everything shut down. I didn't get festivals. I didn't get Jazz Fest. I didn't get Mardi Gras. I didn't get. So now I'm just in a you know, watching ferns grow. Essentially, I'm watching ferns grow.
All right. Jeff, thank you, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
See
you guys this weekend virtually.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Enjoy all of it.
Good blast.
Excellent.
All right, guys, we're going to do intros and outros.
Yeah, we'll do an intro, and then I'm good to go.
Do you need me for this or am I
out? We do not.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your time.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.
There you go, Jeff Cuellar on the What Podcast. Another amazingly brilliant chat from Jeff, who always seems to put things in perspective for us. I think that my favorite part of that was hearing Barry's ship analogy. I really did enjoy that. It's sort of like making a ship turn in a river. that's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
I thought that was important, and the fact that he would not give up whether the Arch was coming back or whether PBR was coming back.
Is coming back.
Well, I think that we all knew, I'll put it this way, you can tell who wasn't the biggest fan of the Squarch. No matter who they were, whether they're inside the building, outside the building, you could just tell the way that they talk. Some people like the Squarch. Other people, you know.
Well, but to the clear. PBR and the Squarch thing, he puts his hat on because he was the one who had to put lipstick on that pig, if you remember last year. And he did as good a job as he could do.
You know what? It's we're all just trying to make a paycheck, okay? We're just trying to get that paycheck signed.
Baby needs new shoes.
We've got Patreons to thank. Let's go down the line. Timothy Proctor, Aaron Carlson, Leslie Condor, David Grimes, Phil Hanley.
Chloe Hannon, Benjamin Wells, Tori, Musical Antlers, and Mary T.
Skyler, Melanie and Jesse Feldman, Parker Reed, Dan Sweeney, Joshua Herndon.
Lauren Edholm, Nick Yeatman, Tyrone Basket, Evan Brown, and Ross McNamara.
William Richards, William Wilhoit, Sean McCarthy, Ryan Matthewson, Chelsea Davis.
Lucy Young, Jason Hazelbaker, DK, Linda Doles, Jacob Marty, and Andrew T. McBride.
Justin Nigro, David Solano, Catherine Riccio, Meredith Rittman, DJ Bryce Brinston.
DJ is one of our new ones, as is Kyle Boyle, Riley Benson, Madison Zisco, please let me know how to say that, Madison. Daniel and Sharla Horton and Sean McCain.
With David Henson, Brooke Tussey, and Ella. So thank you guys for being so supportive.
By the way, it's Liesl. It's Liesl.
What did I say?
You said Leslie.
I didn't say Liesl.
No, you said it wrong.
She's been on our show. Sorry,
we had her on the show. She said it rhymes with diesel.
I thought I said it right. That's my apologies. Right. Now that's how I got to end it. I've got to end it with that big fat failure. All right.
Fine. If you want to do it again, you can.
I'm good.
She got her name mentioned two or three times. So.
All right. Anything else to get to before we wrap up for today?
No, I am looking forward to watching that Beastie Boys set.
Do they have the Cyclones out yet? Did they put that out?
That's a great question. I don't think I've seen the schedule.
You know what? We should have somebody on to talk about this and ask them questions like this. That would be important to know.
All right. I'm on it.
Set that up. Yeah. All right. We'll talk to you next time on the podcast. Love you. Bye. Right.
Bye.
Journey through the stories that define the artists playing Bonnaroo. Who are they? What are they? What will you see? The what? Which bands? This year? That matter.
Yay.
With Brad Steiner and Barry Corder.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.